Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We are into the new year, the new decade. Happy New Year, Travis.
Happy New Year to you.
Okay, Thursday, January 2nd, we're going to, John Murray of the Westgate's going to join us momentarily. We'll recap a little week 17 and the regular season. Some of the futures market. We'll also obviously look ahead to the wild card round. Four good games on tap. All spreads of 7.5 or less. A couple eights out there in the market for the Vikings and Saints. And should be an awesome weekend like it always is once the playoffs arrive. And that'll be it. And that's all I got. So let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Murray, you will be the answer to the trivia questions a long time from now. The first guest of this decade, it is John Murray. How are you, sir?
I thought you were going to credit me for being the one that finally teaches the young people that kicking is for losers.
That too.
That's such a long battle. I think we got a long road ahead of us on that because every football game I watch, the announcers are praising the teams for punting on fourth and half a foot and saying it's the smart thing to do and the safe thing to do.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sitting there with money on these games, and like I'm just like, what the F? Like, I'm like so upset. Like, how can I bet on these teams? Refs can't figure out a spot. They like don't. They can't figure out the pass interference. I mean, look, I had Baylor team total under last night, so I was perfectly fine with some of the missed PIs, and it's just mind-boggling how ridiculously Michigan punting down two touchdowns, basically. Down 12 or more, whatever it was, 26-14, I think it was, and like with like 7 minutes to go. Now they got the ball back right away, and Alabama threw an incomplete, but it doesn't matter. Like it's the Kate Fagan extending the hostage situation. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. It's the brilliant Kate Fagan. We should add that part in there because that's like my favorite analogy. You know that
it is really good. Okay, my friend. Obviously a shorter card this week. How did you guys do week 17 with all the moving lines, like particularly Texans Titans?
Well, you know, we really stayed ahead of that one the whole way. We never believed that the Texans were going to play all their guys, and certainly when Kansas City beat the Chargers, there was no reason for them to do it at all. So we had kept our money line really high on that game the whole time. So we actually did pretty well. We took a lot of Houston Texans money line bets on purpose.
Gotcha. Okay. It's because I almost emailed you on like Thursday or Friday or tweeted at you for the Bonanza, which we need to get to in a little bit. But I almost tried to get a big position because once I saw Watson move to questionable, I had a feeling this line would move, and it certainly did, and it all worked out well.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you don't want to go too crazy with it. I'm talking about from our perspective because, yes, like I said, we took some money on Houston on purpose because we didn't believe they were going to play their guys. And it worked out very well for us, and we did very well in the game. But last year we did the same thing, Dallas at the Giants in Week 17. Dallas said they were going to play their guys. We didn't believe them, and they did, and they won the game. If you remember that, Dak Prescott threw four touchdown passes in that game for some reason. And we certainly lost on that game. So this year it worked out for us, but you never know.
But 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, Week 17, the Niners were an underdog, went off as a favorite. I think it was the Rams.
Yeah, against the Rams. It was Niners against the Rams, right? The Rams had already clinched their playoff positioning. So different years it works. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And it's kind of like the bowl betting, too, where you just don't know the motivation of these teams. Week 17 kind of reminds me of the bowl season.
Oh, absolutely. There are parallels with that in the preseason. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's nice to have four NFL games to talk about this week where we know that all eight of the teams are going to want to win. Whether they can or not is a separate question, but at least we know they're motivated to try.
Yeah, and the surprise participant in this weekend in the Patriots having lost to the Dolphins and just surprising. I mean, what was it, 17-ish was the closing number. So
Yeah.
New England at home. I'm looking into going to that game, actually. So I might have an angle, so friends tickets and things like that. But let's anything crazy from last weekend in terms of money line on the Dolphins bets or anything silly like that?
Yeah, we had a couple guys taking Dolphins money line, taking some flyers on there. We did pretty well in the game. I wouldn't say great on the game. A good thing for us, though, was having Miami get to their fifth win, actually going over their win total, was a real positive for us that we took away from that game.
Isn't that crazy?
And we took some...
Isn't that crazy?
It really is.
Given
crazy,
how things
man.
Started?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't think Brian Flores is getting enough credit for the job he did in Miami. Did an outstanding job to get that team to 5-11. And they also had that game where they went for two on the last play against Washington. That could have been a sixth win. They had a big lead against Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. I mean, I know every team can point to a few games and say they could have won or lost, but Miami.
Forget Brian Flores. How about Fitzpatrick for MVP?
No, Fitzpatrick's been unbelievable.
Give him fifth place votes. Come on.
No, I'm with you. He was unbelievable. This is a team that could have won six or seven games very easily, and that's extraordinary when you consider what their goal was going into this year, which it appears clear to me their goal was to not win six or seven games.
You know, I did a piece the last couple of years. Ben Fox did it this year on the quarterback ATS value between starter and backup. I mean, I think Fitzpatrick is right up there.
Yeah, he's got to be because Rosen really struggled the limited time he was in the game. And Fitzpatrick played so well for Miami and elevated that whole offense. I can't disagree with you. The funny thing about the last Sunday, though, is everything you're grading, you're also grading all the season-long stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we really wanted Indianapolis to win to get an eighth win. But at the same time, Indianapolis was an extremely popular bet side, so we won a lot of money on the Indianapolis-Jacksonville game. So we've got little things like that going on throughout the day. We certainly wanted the 49ers to not cover against Seattle, and they probably shouldn't have, but we won a lot on the 49ers winning their division. That was very good for us. So there's just give and take throughout the day. The one home run, though, was the Denver game. We really wanted Denver to get to a seventh win and push the win total, which they did, and we had some big money on Denver minus the points, which didn't cover either. So we got right in the good area there where we won both sides of that one. Oakland scored a touchdown, went for two, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, you fiddled the middle there, so to speak. And obviously, it was a nice comeback by the Raiders, and you guys get the stop on the two-point conversion. So well
that
done
was good.
There.
You know, we did have one crazy one, I got to tell you, though. We had a guy that he put a dent in our day. He had a $1,500 17-team parlay of basketball and hockey games, no NFL. And he won $109,000. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that made or broke our whole day because that wouldn't be true. But it was certainly a shock to see that thing post at the end of the night.
That is awesome.
You don't expect to see those tickets come back. And it changed our bottom line a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But certainly it was a positive Sunday for us. And Ed Sammons did a really good job booking the futures. And we did pretty well on all that stuff.
So I think you're going to be okay with the Trubisky MVPs. How about Lamar Jackson?
Well, we're not going to do good on Lamar Jackson. and it's so funny to us that – think back to Wild Card Weekend, dude, that Chargers game when everybody wanted him to be benched for Joe Flacco. Think about how bad he played in that game. He looked completely lost. That game was only a year ago. And now he's the runaway MVP. And I think the lesson for us is going to be – you really can't start any of these quarterbacks at higher than 40 or 50 to 1. It doesn't matter who they are. Any quarterback has at least an outside chance to win it. And what you need to do is just raise all the other positions, the running backs, the receivers, the defensive players, because in modern football, they don't really have a chance to win it.
I think some of these guys you can have higher than 41. Like, you could have Sam Darnold. You can have, like, I think Lamar Jackson.
I don't know. Who would have believed that Lamar? Look at Joe Burrow's numbers from 2018 and tell me
so
how.
We had how people on Daily Wager talk about it. Preston talked about how there's huge variance with Lamar Jackson because they brought in the coaching staff of Oklahoma and some pieces there, and that was worth a flyer on that. We had another guy talk about Joe Burrow being the quarterback of the Tigers and how they revamped their entire offense. They had all the skill, but like those are things I actually heard in the preseason. I'm not kidding. We taped our best futures bet for SportsCenter. It was Preston and I and Lewis Riddick. We wanted to get like an NFL analyst, and we were going to do like our best MVP pick. and Preston was down between Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton, and our producers kind of made him do Cam Newton.
Well, we had a lot of money on a lot of the other quarterbacks. It wasn't really Lamar Jackson. I mean, there were some flyers on Lamar Jackson, but the big ticket counts were Baker Mayfield, Mitch Trubisky. Actually, Cam Newton was a guy that we took a lot of tickets on too.
I mean, it made sense coming off injury. He was six. The Panthers were 6-2 last year until the injury, and you were getting like 30-1.
Yeah, he was a popular play. Lamar Jackson. The thing is, when you have these 200-1 guys, even if only a few people bet them, it can add up in a hurry when you have odds like that.
Yeah, 200-1 is pretty ridiculous.
It's hard to dig yourself out of that hole. And then we had in season big bets on both of them, when obviously their odds have been drastically adjusted. So not a good result for us on Lamar Jackson. But I will say this, the Ravens winning their division was a home run for us. Going over their win total was good for us. And they are our best outcome in the Super Bowl pool out of every team in the league.
Oh, now they're the favorites,
So the Ravens' success is not all bad for us. Just in that one MVP market, we are certainly going to take a big loss.
Okay, so let's spin it to wild card weekend. And yeah. Buffalo opened as a 3-point dog at Houston. It's come down. I agree with the line move. I think the Bills and even the Titans are like decent wild card teams compared to years past. There's been teams where I didn't think any of them had a chance, and I actually think both could, not will, not should, could go to the Super Bowl.
I don't know about the Super Bowl. I like the teams. I just think that the two teams waiting for these games to be decided this weekend are both so good. I'm talking about Baltimore and Kansas City. I just think it's too much to ask to go through those two teams, but both of them are very live on Saturday, and there's been a lot of support for Buffalo. We were at +3, -110. They took it. They took +3, -120. We went to Houston -2.5, -110. And a guy we really respect came in and he bet $30,000 on that. And he moved us to Houston -2.5, -20. So that first wild card game so far has been very good, right? I don't think it's going to be a big decision because I think there's going to be a lot of money on both sides.
I mean, what's the Titans power rating after the quarterback change?
I think that number, you're talking about the second game, I think that number has more to do with how New England is struggling than anything the Titans are doing. But certainly, Tennessee's playing to a way higher number without Mariota. I can't even think back that far, but I'm still like dumbfounded by how much better the Titans' offense is with Ryan Tannehill than Mariota. Because I'll be the first to admit, I was never a big Tannehill fan.
Yeah, no, I've eaten crow on the team, and then also Tannehill. Yeah.
I guess my
point is, we have to remember that it's never always just the one seeds who go, right? We've seen wild card teams make runs, right? The Giants come to mind. We've seen the Eagles, even though they were the one seed, they were the new quarterback when they won it all. And like, it's not a best of seven series, right? It's not the predictability of the NBA. And these teams, like the margin of error is so small. I mean, we saw Tennessee win in Kansas City. Now, it was kind of a fluke win because of the blocked field goal and all that. Not a kind of, but it was. But still, like, these games are so close. These coaches are so conservative, as we laughed about, that, I mean, I wouldn't be that. Buffalo's been in every game they've ever needed to be in. And they were so close with New England twice. They've won at Dallas. And we want to dismiss it as Dallas, but that's still, like, a solid win.
They dominated Dallas, too.
Yeah.
Let's say what it was. I mean, that game, if we could get that Josh Allen to travel to Houston on Saturday, Buffalo's going to win the game. Because Buffalo's got a better defense. They've got a much better coach. The question is, can Josh Allen step up the way he did against Dallas? Or are we going to get that version of Josh Allen we saw against the Ravens, or that we've seen a bunch of other times this year, where he really didn't look like an NFL quarterback? I don't know. Because the talent level's there with Allen. I think eventually he's going to put it all together.
Correct.
I just think maybe this might be too much too soon for him on the road in a postseason game. But I like Buffalo defensively. I love McDermott. If Allen can just settle in and not make any mistakes and move the chains with his legs on third downs, I think that Buffalo wins this game. I think they're a better overall team than Houston is.
I agree with everything you said, and I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying they've been like a play or two, like the Ravens game right now. It was a good spot for them versus the Ravens, a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
But if he hits Beasley on fourth down on the flat, then it's a first down. They were right there, a play or two away in all these games. and we can't just assume what we've seen in the past will continue moving forward. Like, there are going to be upsets this weekend. There are going to be upsets next weekend. And I think this new Tennessee team's like really tough out. As we go to the next game, New England's laying 5, 5.5 here. You guys are on the high side here because you're expecting Patriots money.
Well, we will, because look at that time slot. You know, it's prime time on Saturday night. The public will still eventually come in on New England. But there has been some support for the Titans, too. My only concern would be I don't think I can bet Tennessee getting less than a touchdown. I just am so terrified of Belichick throwing together a perfect game plan and just completely outsmarting the other team and making the opponent look foolish, as he's done so many times, because there's really not much else to like about the Patriots. And I think you've got to give a pretty big edge at quarterback right now to Tannehill, as comical as it sounds. I think it's pretty clear. You know, there hasn't been an AFC championship game without the Patriots since 2010 when the Jets played the Steelers. They've been in every one of them. No, it's unbelievable. And the consistency of Belichick and Brady, it's beyond really anything we've seen in modern sports across any major sport. So it's hard for me to come and say, yeah, you should take the Titans plus 5.5 in New England on Saturday night when all these guys have done for 20 years is win.
2009 was the last time they played in the wild card round. But you're right. They've been so consistent. And this year they at least have a dominant defense, we think.
Their defense is great, but their defense has looked vulnerable against better offenses. I mean, I think New England is very good defensively. My question really is, what can Brady do in this game? And it's not all about Brady. His receivers are not giving him any help. They're not getting open. They're really leaving him to do everything by himself, and I just don't know that he's capable of that anymore. But at the end of the day, you still got Belichick, and I don't know how comfortable you'll be taking 5 points with Tennessee on the road against Belichick.
Well said. And do you think the number, where do you think it closes?
I think it might actually go down. I don't really see it going over 5.5. I really don't. Okay. There's going to be a lot of people looking to bet Tennessee in the points. The thing is that New England will be thrown into so many money line parlays. I think what we're really just going to want to avoid here is New England winning by a field goal. I think a lot of people would win in that if that was the outcome.
More picks to come, including we're going to discuss a prop involving Michael Thomas, who's just been on a record-setting season. But first, a word from DraftKings. The regular season is over, but your fantasy season doesn't have to be. With the start of the playoffs this weekend, you can still get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy. And if you've never played before, there's even more good news. New users can play for a $1 million top prize this weekend. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at the $1 million top prize. And be sure to check out the newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Doug. New users enter code Doug, D-O-U-G, at sign up and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code Doug and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Let's go to Sunday. Minnesota at New Orleans. Really intriguing game. Someone asked me what I thought the line would be, and I said about 6. And then I remembered how bad Minnesota looked on Monday night. I was like, probably 7. And here we are over 7.
Well, we were at 8. We had a very respected player, took plus 8 for 33,000 on, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday this week, and knocked us down to 7.5. Now, there are going to be a lot of teasers with the Saints and a lot of money line parlays with the Saints. I think if this game was the late game Sunday, you might see this number climb even higher, maybe even all the way, not quite to 10, but like in the 8.5, 9 range, because there's going to be so much public support for New Orleans here. And Minnesota's really struggled on the road, and Kirk Cousins has always struggled in any game that mattered. So, you know, it would make me nervous to back the Vikings here on this spot or in this spot. I think New Orleans is the best team in the NFC, and I think New Orleans is a really good teaser option this week, taking them down to -1.5 range.
Vikings 4-4 on the road this year. Have you guys just been getting clobbered on Michael Thomas props? I've talked to a few sharp guys who just do the math modeling and just been taking under all year. And like week 10 or so, one of my buddies was like, enough's enough. I can't. The guy just, because when like Bridgewater was the quarterback, they were all just pounding unders and he was just bearing them. Like that Bears game, he had like, it was like over receptions and yards by like mid second quarter.
It's ridiculous. The numbers he puts up are comical. Right now, we've got him at 103.5 receiving yards, and that number might probably be low. I wouldn't be surprised. Like the sharp guys always bet under everything. That's why you usually open it a little lower.
Because they bet first, right?
And the public doesn't really get too involved in props until the Super Bowl, to tell you the truth.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's going to be more money in the prop markets this weekend than there is during the regular season, but it's still barely even a fraction of what we'll see in the Super Bowl. It's still a predominantly sharp market. But there's got to be a better way to make a prop bet than going against Michael Thomas.
Seattle-Philly's an interesting line. I think it's low. I think Seattle's the play of the weekend for me.
So we had this game already. Remember, we had this game somewhere in the middle of the season, and Seattle was a small dog, and everybody bet Seattle, and they went off favorite, and they won the game. Everybody's betting Seattle this week, too. It's our by far our most lopsided takedown of the week. Because of the time slot, this late afternoon Sunday time slot, it's going to be the biggest decision of the week for the books, the same way Philadelphia-Chicago was last year in the same window. We're going to need the Eagles pretty huge here. I like Philadelphia in this game. I think they're going to find a way to win it, but it just terrifies me to go against Russell Wilson. Like that Sunday night game this past week, Seattle-San Francisco, as soon as San Francisco punted, I knew Wilson was going to take them all the way down the field. I just knew it was going to happen. I mean, and obviously the Seahawks totally botched that situation down there at the goal line. I thought they also got completely screwed by the officials.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, Wilson went right down the field like he always does, and it just would make me nervous to have a big bet on the Eagles here. When Russell Wilson inevitably gets that ball in the fourth quarter, I just feel like he's going to go right down the field again. But Philadelphia looks like a great teaser option in this game going through 3-7.
I also think it's just been, I mean, how many must-win games can the Eagles win in a row? I just feel, obviously they're going to be up for the game, but these last couple of weeks have taken a lot out of them. Seattle didn't have a big game last week against the Niners, don't get me wrong. That was a draining game as well, but
sure.
There's been a lot of, like, I don't want to say smoke and mirrors for the Eagles, but they've been pulling things out of nowhere. I mean, even the Monday nighter against the Giants, they were trailing and needed overtime.
You got to look at the injury report here because there's so many key guys for both teams. I think that's a real important thing. I mean, it's always important, but this week I think even more so. I just pulled it up right now. Jadeveon Clowney is listed as questionable. I would expect him to play, but he's listed as questionable. Quandre Diggs, Dwayne Brown are listed as questionable. Those are key guys for Seattle. And then on the other side of the ball, Lane Johnson, Jalen Mills, Zach Ertz, Nelson Agholor, they're all listed as questionable. So these are some of the best players on both of these teams we're talking about here. But you've really got to keep an eye on the injury report here as we get closer to Sunday.
And I should have done my homework on this run. I meant to look it up. What was the postseason? Was it like 1 year the underdogs went 10-1 ATS? The only cover was the Patriots against the Titans when they had Mariota, and then the next year it was like 1-10. Was that each of the last two postseasons?
Well, it was 2 years ago. I know it was 2 years ago where we won like every playoff game, because when I did the budget for last January, I tried to explain that there's no way we're going to win as much as we did the previous January. So
the previous January was when like Tyrod Taylor and Bortles and all that year where dogs went 10-1. Eagles won the Super Bowl that year. Right.
Yeah, I think the only favorite that covered was Atlanta against Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. Or was that 3 years ago?
No, so that year it was the Patriots at home against the Titans. After the Titans upset Kansas City because Kelsey got hurt, and then botched call by the rules analyst. And then that was the only cover. It was a Saturday night. They blew him out.
Yeah, and I remember that game.
And then I think last year that's my question. It's
Well, Philadelphia beating Chicago was really good for us in the wild card round. I remember that. And I know that Indianapolis was a dog in the first wild card game. They won at Houston in the opening wild card game.
And Eagles covered at the Bears. Chargers won outright.
They won the game.
The Ravens.
Chargers were a dog.
Right.
They won in Baltimore. Seattle actually covered in Dallas in the Saturday night game.
Correct.
Because remember, they had to go for two.
Right.
Because they didn't have a kicker or something like that. And then actually, I remember the first game of divisional weekend, we actually needed the favorite pretty big. Everybody was betting the Colts like crazy at Kansas City. And Kansas City covered, and we won on that game as well. So we've had a lot of
right. The Rams covered the next game because it was like seven-ish or 7.5, and McVay went for the touchdown instead of, I don't know what happened. Something happened there. Patriots covered against the Chargers. Remember, it was like 3.
Yeah.
Everyone was trying to bet the Chargers, like the chic pick, and the Patriots blew them out, and then late cover.
There was good action. There was action on New England in that game too. But yeah, the Chargers were a pretty chic dog, and then the late game, Philadelphia, I think, got up 14-0 on the Saints.
Right, and they came all the way back,
yeah,
and the Saints almost had a pick six to cover instead. It was just a pick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good little trip down memory lane there.
It's amazing we still remember as much as we do with all the useless information floating around in our heads, man.
Yeah, I called up the scoreboard, so that had a little cheat code there. Okay, my friend. Well, that was good stuff. You'll have props a little bit more than the regular season. In terms of the futures, in terms of what you're offering, I mean, I know I've heard you can get Niners plus money for the conference out in the market. I know you're not there as a book, but that's pretty
remarkable.
We're
not because we lose a pretty good number to the Niners, and we had a respected guy bet us, I think he bet 20,000 and plus a quarter about a week ago or less than a week ago. So we're actually at minus 110 right now on San Francisco. I will say this, though. If it's New Orleans at San Francisco, I think New Orleans is a small favorite in that game. Now, obviously, it depends a lot on how the divisional playoff games go.
I disagree. I disagree.
Okay.
San Fran just won at New Orleans.
I know that. But I just don't know how good San Francisco really is. I think New Orleans is better than San Francisco. But we'll see. And it'll depend a lot on, you know, if New Orleans barely wins in Green Bay. They will be favored in that game, by the way. And then San Francisco just routes Philadelphia or Seattle, then certainly San Francisco would be favored. I think New Orleans is just better than San Francisco is.
Green Bay is like the one team I would not bet on just because I think this Aaron Rodgers stuff, I talked to one of our analysts, so I won't name who, but he said the reason Rodgers is having an off year, so to speak, is his arm talent has always been so great that he's had bad fundamentals and gotten away with it. But now that his age has sort of caught up to him, his feet and everything aren't where they need to be, and that's why he's been missing throws.
What's funny is people really aren't looking to bet Green Bay. We did have one guy. Well, I shouldn't say that. One guy did bet 30,000 on them at 12-1. But other than his bet, they're not really the team we're seeing a lot of money on. We're seeing a lot of money come in on the Niners. Seattle has been a popular bet. We got guys betting Seattle right now to win the conference at 20-1 like crazy. It really, other than that one individual I mentioned, it hasn't been too much Green Bay stuff here. And Green Bay is going to be a dog against New Orleans, and they'll probably be a dog in the NFC Championship game if they get through to that round as well.
Yeah, I would much rather bet Saints at plus 280 than the Packers at 4-1 to win the conference.
Yeah, the only problem is, you know, because the NFL – well, actually, if the NFL had gotten that call right, they'd both have a bye, so never mind. I take that back.
Titans at 40-1 are tempting, but we'll see how it plays out.
It's just too much because let's just say they beat New England, which I don't even think is that crazy.
No.
There'll be a double digit dog in Baltimore next weekend. So and then there'll be a big dog probably at Kansas City in all likelihood. So it's a lot.
But if they won at Baltimore, hypothetically, of course, I don't think they'd be that big of a dog in Kansas City.
Probably not a huge dog if they were able to win in New England and in Baltimore in back-to-back weeks. But you want to talk about one of the tougher roads to a Super Bowl we've ever seen at New England, at Baltimore, at Kansas City, just to get there. That would be a very impressive run.
Yeah, you should just roll over the money lines, too. Okay.
Probably.
You ready for a little bonanza?
I'll do my best, yes.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
I had to let it marinate a little bit. Talk about closing week 17 strong.
Yeah, man.
Your guy
he
hits a middle.
Bang, man.
Your guy hits a middle.
I hope that you also have a middle somewhere in your pocket, not in the bonanza if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that at least.
I may have.
Now that I'm happy about. Now that was crazy. What a great game, though. You know, I was on. I was actually watching that game on the VSiN set with our friends Matt Humans and Jonathan Von Tobel. We were doing a show while that game was going on. And some of us kept our composure during the game. Others were just watching the game. I'm not going to name names, but great game, though. Seriously, I just thought my only complaint, and I complained about it on Twitter already, but they made us sit through all those pointless challenges just to appease New Orleans, because they did rob New Orleans of the NFC Championship game. We all agree on that. How do you not do one more on a play that likely determined the seeding for four different teams? I don't think anybody could have had a complaint that they stopped the game for that one to make sure they got that call right. They stopped other games in like the second quarter of a nothing game and stopped the game for 10 minutes to look at the review. Review that one. It actually had a big impact on the postseason.
It really did. Obviously changing all the seating and that, needless to say. Mm-hmm. But so I clean up 6,300 because I had my little $300 Titans over. So hit the middle for 6K and then you lost 550 on the skins plus 11. I didn't do all the numbers for me.
It's funny, in week 17, you don't know who's going to bother to show up. Like, Detroit really showed up. They nearly beat Green Bay. And then Washington just said, let's get to the off season. So,
well, they tried. They tried. They were going for
two. They tried
two
in the first half.
The first half, they tried.
Yeah, I agree. They played pretty well down the stretch, though. Unfortunately, I think they made too good of a coaching hire with Ron Rivera because he's such a professional and he'll do such a solid job that they'll go 8-8 next year. So I wanted them to go in a different direction and try to get Trevor Lawrence, but I'm going to have to just buy my own NFL franchise if I ever want to be able to make these moves.
That is a fact. Okay, a light card for me. I really don't love this week. I'm gonna let you go first because I still believe you're on the overall lead. I apologize for not having the updated totals, but we're close now, and I'm happy about that.
I'm sure we're very close, and that was an awesome hit for you. The only thing, I think there's some good teaser plays this week. I've said that on a few other shows. Take a look at Buffalo teasers, New Orleans teasers, and Philadelphia teasers because you can go through 3 and 7. But for the purposes of the bonanza, all I'm going
to
do is
you're allowed to do a teaser.
Okay. I'm aware, and I might have some teaser bets out there somewhere in the universe. But
okay.
I'm going to go with the Eagles. There is 1.5 out there. The coast has 2.5. I'm going to go with Philadelphia plus. That's the rule. They're in Nevada. I'm going to go with Philadelphia plus 2.5 for a dime, 1,100 to win 1,000. And other than that, I've been prodding my good friend, the Prince of Props, to redeem himself with a playoff winner. I'll try to post that this weekend. But that's all I've got for now.
Part of me wants to go under every. Let's just martingale every under and every half under. So first half in the Buffalo Houston under. If it doesn't hit, go second half under, and then if keep just martingaling at all 8 unders. I will not be doing that. I was just joking that these coaches. It's tempting to do all these just because of the conservative nature of these coaches. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be taking Philly, I don't need to double dip on Seattle because that's the one play I was thinking about doing.
Okay.
I do like New Orleans. I don't know if I trust their defense that much to lay that kind of points. So do you guys have a prop?
That number might go up too, that New Orleans number. So.
Yeah. I'm going to do a teaser.
I'm going to do a teaser.
I don't know what to tease New Orleans with.
Well, I think if you don't like Philadelphia, obviously, I think Buffalo looks like a good teaser option.
Yeah, Buffalo and New Orleans. That's what it is. And I'll just do a nickel.
Okay. So 6-pointer would give you New Orleans minus 1.5 and Buffalo plus 8.5.
Correct.
I think that's it's a long-term good teaser option. Those two spreads are good. Those are good numbers to tease to. And I do think that Buffalo-Houston game is really a toss-up. I really do. You just don't know what you're going to get from Josh Allen. That's the question.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, and getting the 8.5 is obviously very enticing. Something's off with this Houston team.
I know their defense. What it is. It's Bill O'Brien is what's off about him. I mean, it's a big coaching edge to Buffalo. I mean, really the only edges that I see for Houston are the quarterback, obviously, and then Houston's got the far better wide receiving group.
Sure.
But other than that, I think Buffalo's better than Houston everywhere on the field. I really do.
Okay, so that'll be my teaser. What juice is in town that I can get?
Let's call it. I don't really know all the teaser juices around town. I think you might be able to get a -120 somewhere.
I'm okay with that. Only a nickel will live.
I think we don't need to dig too deep here, but let's call it -120 for the sake of everything.
Okay, good stuff as always, my friend.
Yeah, we'll talk next week, and then next week's going to be the best week of the year in football, man. The four divisional playoff games and the national championship game, Clemson-LSU. So we'll have a lot to talk about after the weekend.
All right, bud. Be well.
All right. Take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, thanks to John Murray for his contributions here in the new year. Travis, thank you for all your work as well. No Mike Lay here, so I might follow up with some Michael Thomas props via Twitter, things like that. We'll check with Mike Lay as well. We do them on Daily Wager, so make sure you guys check that out. We have a Saturday show this week. I believe it's 11 a.m., if I'm correct. So we're doing Saturday and Sunday this week and next. And then we'll do the Sundays, the Super Bowl Sunday, and also obviously the divisional or the conference championships. And then I'm done working weekends.
The Super Bowl Sunday show sounds like that could be a fun one, just because there's so many options and even the non-gambling fans get into it. So it opens you up for a lot of fun bets.
Yeah, totally. And we'll be taping a lot of segments for other platforms as well, including SportsCenter, like we always do. But big time of year, obviously, with the football playoffs here. Thanks to everyone for listening. Hopefully you guys are doing well in your bowl pools and your bowl picks. I had a light card this bowl season, but my Ducks got there yesterday in the Rose Bowl, thankfully. So it's not such an egregious record. Although, as I said, I don't do.
I mean, you didn't start out 0-14, so like Stu got, so you're doing well.
That was amazing. We ran that. That was amazing. Okay, so that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you back here next week. We'll do a joint pod for both the national championship game and then also the next round in the NFL playoffs.